Today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24. Me in verses 36 through 44, talking about the day when Jesus comes back, right? We have been looking at when Jesus could come back. We looked at last week the lesson of the fig tree, and then before that we looked at how Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple and the things that would happen in AD 70, and people have asked throughout history, is this something that is a past event when Jesus talks about the tribulations and the suffering? Is it a past event all tied to AD 70? Or is it a future event that's going to happen when the end of the world happens? Some will talk about a 7-year tribulation towards the end of time. Or is it a recurring thing that happens over and over in history, and then it'll lead up to Jesus coming back? And what I've been saying for weeks now is that there's a lot of different scholars believe a lot of different things, and so I don't know. I really don't know if it's all a past event or all a future event, or all a event that is recurring over and over and over again. And so what we've done is we've taken it from the perspective of the disciples. When they were hearing Jesus say these words, how did they apply it to their lives? How did they apply the warnings that Jesus was giving them? Because they went through the worst period in human history for Christians back then. Literally, I mean, they saw their friends being burned as torches when they walked through the city streets. I mean, it was one of the worst periods of human history. And Jesus tells them, basically, that be ready, I'm going to come back, right? And they're expecting Jesus to come back in their lifetime. But, as we know, Jesus did not come back and end the world in AD 70. And you go, well, how do you know that? Because we're all right here today, right? Jesus hasn't come back, but He will come back one day. And as we look into Matthew 24 this morning, we're going to see what Jesus gives specifically for us about when He comes back and how to set our minds to that. So as you turn there, I'm going to pray that the Lord will bless our time together. Father, we do just thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You tell us that You're coming back one day, Lord, that it is a certainty that You will come back. We just don't know when. Lord, I pray that today as we look in Your Word, Lord, I pray that as we study it, You will help us, Lord God, to prepare rightly. I pray that for the situations that are in our lives, Lord, the things that are concerns to us, that we're worried about, that we're upset about, that maybe no one knows about, Lord, but it's on our hearts and on our minds, Lord. I pray that today that You'll speak to that situation. I pray that You'll show us the wisdom of what to do, Lord. We come in here, Lord, not perfect. We come with brokenness. We come with situations, Lord, that are out of our control, Lord. But we know that You are in control of all things, and we trust You, Lord God, with the situations in our lives, Lord. We pray that You will just guide us and direct us this morning. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's jump into Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 36. It says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. This is talking about when Jesus comes back. Verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then the two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two young men, women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, what is Jesus' point here that He's telling His disciples? You don't know when I'm coming back. And one of the reasons you don't know when I'm coming back is I don't even know when I'm coming back. Not even the angels in heaven know when I'm coming back. The only person that knows that is God. God knows exactly when I'm coming back. And He will tell me, basically, right? He'll tell me when I'm to come back, right? So, you need to prepare that I will come back one day. And and it will be at a time that you do not expect. And so the way that I titled the message this morning and what I want us to be able to walk out of this room today is that we're preparing for the unexpected, right? We are preparing for the unexpected. And we were thinking about preparing for the unexpected. Last night at about 10:30, I started seeing the lights flicker, my clock flicker, the air conditioning cut on and off. And you know what that means whenever there's a storm? What's going to happen? Power is going to be gone, right? A couple of weeks ago, most of Greenwood Shores experienced no power, right? For several hours, trees down and all that fun stuff. I felt bad for Duke Power in our area because they started at 10:30 last night and they finished, I guess, at 7:15 this morning getting our power back. And I started thinking about that, is that usually in Abbeville, when there's big storms and all that, everybody loses power but me. I've been so fortunate for the past 4 years. Every time there's been a huge storm and people have not had power for days on end, guess who's had power? 69 Highway 20. I have had power every single time. And so anytime there's been a storm, I've basically just been walking around going, knock on wood, I'm going to still have power, but y'all aren't, right? And I've been so excited every time to be able to say that I have power, y'all don't. But in the back of my mind, I knew that one day the storm was going to be bad enough that my power was going to get knocked out, right? I knew that one day it was going to happen, and it was always going to be a day I didn't expect it, right? Because every time it happened, for everybody else, it didn't happen to me. So when it hasn't happened in 4 years or even more, with my grandparents live there, what do I not keep around? Flashlights, right? No more flashlights around the house. Used to have tons of candles around the house. We don't use candles anymore, really, and I keep some hidden that Katie didn't know about. But right, I have some candles just in case I were to use the power were to go out, have them stored so she can't find them. And if the power goes out, I can go light those candles. Well, this morning, when I got up, there was not a candle that I could find. I couldn't get my phone that had the only flashlight in the house because I was not prepared for the power to go out. I was not watching the radar, and if I had watched the radar, I would have said that everybody else is going to lose power, but not me, right? And so this morning when I walked into the wall the first time, I was like, man, I wish I had a flashlight. But it's one of those scenarios in life, you've gone through it before, is that you know in your mind that something unexpected could happen. You expect at some point there's going to be an illness in the family, or at some point I'm not going to be able to do the things I used to do anymore. At some point we're going to have to make a decision about our loved one that needs medical care beyond staying at home. Things like that. We know that those decisions will come one day. But when it happens, it's unexpected, right? It takes us for a loop. It knocks us in the stomach when it happens to a loved one. It's because we knew one day it would happen. We just didn't think that today was that day, right? It's an unexpected thing that we really and truly expected, but just not today. And that's the way I phrase it to myself. We expect it to happen, just not today. And so it's about preparing for that unexpected event. And Jesus tells his disciples, basically, no one really knows when I'm coming back. I don't even know when I'm coming back, but I am. I am going to come back one day. You don't have to question whether or not I'm coming back. I am. I'm telling you I'm coming back. It's just, I don't know when, and you don't know when. And what happens over time is that when an event like a power outage doesn't happen for years on end, all those things that we have prepared for, right, we begin to say, you know what, I don't need this anymore. And we begin to throw away those preparation things, right? We used to have like 20 flashlights in the house. There's not any anymore. I threw them all away because I was like, I don't need these. I got a cell phone that's got a flashlight, right? You start beginning all of those things that were preparing you for that event. You begin to say, I don't need this anymore, because it's not happening or it's not going to happen ever again. Well, if you look at what Jesus gives an example of, that's what happened with the flood. When Noah was building the ark, Noah was telling them, there's going to be a flood. And I don't know if you remember in Genesis 6, when all this was going on, when Noah was telling them about the flood that was going to come, what did the people start doing to Noah? They started making fun of him, right? They started mocking him, saying, there's not going to be a flood. What are you talking about? I mean, Jesus says it here in 37, verse 37, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. One of the estimates I read said that Noah spent probably about 75 years, somewhere between that 55 to 75 years of building the ark. Some have said he spent 120 years building the ark. It seems more likely that he was spending about 75 years building the ark. And if you have been preparing something for 75 years, think about it. That's an entire lifetime. 75 years preparing for a specific event. If you had a friend that was a doomsday prepper, right, and you've watched the TV shows about the different doomsday prepper stuff, and you've seen them prepping for the past 15 or 20 years, what would you call them? Crazy, right? A lot of people say they're crazy. You'd call in the camera crews and say, videotape them, right? Look at my crazy friend. They think the world's going to end, and they've been thinking that for 15 years, right? You would start to make fun of them. That's what happened with Noah. They started making fun of him. They're like, no, Noah, we're not going to have this big, massive flood. Why are you building that stupid boat, right? And it's crazy. They're thinking about Noah 75 years of building the ark for something that's never going to happen. Don't you think at year 74, Noah's like, man, is this really going to happen? I've been building this stupid ark, this stupid boat for 74 years. Is this really going to happen? Right? How difficult it is to stay ready for something that doesn't happen for 70 years, right? How difficult it is to keep preparing for an event that hasn't happened for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, right? How hard it is to prepare for those events. And the reason why it's hard to prepare for those unexpected events is because life goes on. Right? Life goes on. I mean, that's what verse 38 tells us. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, right? Marrying, giving in marriage, until the day when Moses entered the ark. I mean, Moses says, Noah entered the ark, sorry. Noah tells them, the world's going to be flooded, the whole world, you're going to need to get in this boat with me. Don't worry about all these other things. Don't worry about marriage. Don't worry about partying. Worry about getting in this boat with me. Help me, right? And they're going, Moses, I mean, Noah, you've been saying this for 20 years. Noah, you've been saying this ever since I first got married and since my first two or three kids came. Come on, man. Life has gone on. Don't worry about some crazy doomsday flood. That's not going to happen, right? Life begins to get busy. Life begins to go on. Even during our worst circumstances in life, life continues to go on. And what happens is that we get distracted. We begin to get distracted by the things in life, by the things that we're going through. Maybe it's the wedding of a child or a grandchild. Maybe it's school itself. School is so distracting for us, whether we're a parent of someone in school, whether we're in school ourselves, is that work can do the same thing, is that it can distract us from the most important things in life, the most important relationships in life. And when we get distracted by the events of life or by the people in our lives, whatever it may be, when we get distracted, something happens to us unexpectedly. And the reason why is we stop preparing for it. We stop preparing for that thing that we know is going to happen. Why? Because life just begins to get busy and we begin to get distracted. How many times have we said this exact statement in our lives is that I knew that this day was coming or I knew that this was going to happen. I just didn't think today was the day, right? I knew that this was going to happen, but I thought I had more time. And that's what Jesus gets into verses 43 and following. It's like, if you knew the time, you would start preparing for it, right? If you knew exactly when it was going to happen, then you would start preparing for it. You know, when Jesus comes back, the way he's telling his disciples, when I come back, it will be so unexpected that no one will have time to prepare, right? No one will be able to say, oh, wait, Jesus, I need another year, right? Jesus, no, I need another week, right? And when a loved one gets sick or an incident happens with a loved one, you can't go to that loved one and say, hey, I need you to wait 2 more days before this event happens. I need you to wait another month before I can get finances set. I need you to wait another week or two for the insurance to set in so all this can happen. We can't do that, right? When life hits us unexpectedly, we just got to roll with the punches. And Jesus is telling them is that this is going to be unexpected. When I come back, you're going to know it's me. You're going to know what's going on. But the day I come back, you're going to be shocked that it was that day. And you're not going to be able to guess when it is. There have been so many people that have tried to guess when Jesus was going to come back. There have been millions of dollars that have been wasted, lives that have been wasted, and going with these folks that will say that, oh, the end of the world's coming in 2017, the end of the world's coming in the year 2000, the end of the world's coming in 2019, whatever it may be. No one knows the day or the time, not even Jesus. And some people will say, well, we don't know the day and time, but we know the month. That's stupid. I'm telling you, nobody knows. If Jesus doesn't know, then some random guy on TV, he don't know either. I promise you that. If Jesus doesn't know, they don't know. And so Jesus is telling them it's unexpected. Now, the question that comes up is that when he comes back, who's he going to take? Right, some people will tell you that when Jesus comes back, there will be this big rapture and that the Christians will be called up into heaven at that time. And the people that will be left will be those that are not Christians and don't follow God at all. Well, with that interpretation, here's a question for you. It says in verse 37, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Now, who got swept away in the flood? The wicked or the righteous? The wicked, right? The wicked were the ones that were swept away. Who stayed on the earth? Noah and his family, the righteous, right? So whenever people begin to go, well, the righteous are instantly going to be pulled up, there's an aspect that they're talking about in Revelations, but they come here to the book of Matthew and say, well, Jesus says they're going to come, take them up into heaven, just like with Noah. Well, you got to watch what you're talking about there when it comes to the book of Matthew, because when Jesus says it'll be like the days of Noah, the people that got swept away were the wicked, and the people that stayed on the earth were the righteous. So whenever people talk about the end times and how it's all going to happen and the raptures and different things like that, I always try to tell people there are so many different views of how it's all going to happen. And when they come to the book of Matthew, so many people misinterpret what Jesus was saying. What Jesus is trying to do for his disciples is to prepare them for an event that will happen one day. He just doesn't know when it's going to happen. And when Jesus comes and tells us the same thing, I want you to prepare for an event that will happen one day. You just don't know when it's going to happen. That's what he gets into in verse 42 and following. And here's his advice to you. How to prepare for that event. How to prepare for the most unexpected thing in your life. It could be that a loved one gets ill that you never expected or you thought you had years away. It could come from a marriage. It could come from a relationship with a child that ends in a way that you never thought possible, right? It just happens unexpectedly, right? It's those unexpected things in life that hit us like a freight train and we don't know what to do. Jesus gives us the perfect advice when you go through those unexpected situations in life. And he says it right there in verse 42. "Therefore, stay awake." I think some of your translations say, "be watchful," right? "Therefore, stay awake," or "be watchful, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night that the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This word, when it says stay awake, it's in the present tense. This isn't the passive tense or wake up back then. It's saying stay awake constantly. Constantly be ready. Be ready for the unexpected. Be ready for when Christ is to come back. Now, this is thousands of years later, right? This is thousands of years later after Jesus said, be watchful, be mindful, stay awake. So how do we as Christians, how do we stay awake for the eventuality that Jesus will come back one day? How do we stay awake? How do we be watchful? The only way that you're ever able to be watchful is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Really and truly, the only way that you are able to stay awake, to be watchful, is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about you prayed one prayer 10 years ago and you're wanting to go to heaven. I'm talking about a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came to this earth and lived the perfect life in our place, died on the cross for our sin, and then rose from the grave to give us all an opportunity right now to have a relationship with God that lasts now through all of eternity. The way that we stay wakeful is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ and following Him in our relationship. When you do what God tells you to do each and every day, you are being watchful. You might not know what's going to happen 10 years from now. You might not know what's going to happen 30 minutes from now. But when you are walking with Jesus, it doesn't matter because you know it's all in His control. You're simply living day by day, following the steps He tells you to take. The hardest thing about that is that so often Jesus calls us to sacrifice. He calls us to sacrifice those things in our hearts, in our minds that we've been holding on to for so long. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's unforgiveness, right? Sometimes it's those things that are deep within us, that are burning within us that no one else knows about, but we know about it. And God keeps coming at us and picking at it over and over and over and over again. And we're just like, leave me alone at it, right? And if there's somebody in our life that loves us and cares about us, and they point out the same thing that Jesus is pointing out to us, what do? We yell at them. We get mad at them. We get upset at them because we don't want to deal with it. We want to bury it. When Jesus comes into your life, He's going to call you to sacrifice. He's going to call you to give up certain things that you just don't want to give up in life. And why? Because it's good for us. He knows what's ahead. He knows those unexpected things in life that you're about to hit. He knows that if you continue to hold on to the angerness, to the bitterness, whatever it may be, He knows that if you continue to hold on to those things, that it is going to ruin your life and it's not going to help you prepare for the things He has ahead for you. What else does Jesus tell us? In verse 43, He gets real specific. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. I put it this way in my notes. I said, if you knew ahead of time everything, really and truly, if you knew ahead of time when Jesus was coming back, you would live your life based on a timeline instead of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Really and truly, if you knew that in January 1st, 2019, that was the end of the world, why would you need to have a relationship with Jesus? Because you would just set your life by January 1st, 2019. I better get these events done. I better save this much money. Or I better spend this much money by this time. I better not worry about these relationships because January 1st, it's all going to end. We would live our entire lives by a date and time instead of by a relationship with Jesus Christ, who controls all things, right? One of the greatest things in life is to not know when our time ends. Because if we knew when our time ends, we wouldn't live by faith. We wouldn't have the adventure that we have with Jesus Christ. Well, I'll never forget when a pastor told me, I told him, I said, my internship's finished. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what God's got planned for my life. I said, it's scary. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and said, and that's the great adventure of following Jesus Christ, because you don't know what your future is yet. You just get to walk day by day with a relationship with Him. And he said, that's the thrilling part. He said, because when you get towards the end, he said, you just don't see that thrilling aspect anymore. And he said that right now in his life, he's still following that thrilling thrilling aspect of life, because he doesn't know what the next day will hold. He just knows that he's simply living out what God has called him to do. And that's what God is calling us to do, is to live our lives focused on our relationship with Jesus Christ, because Jesus is going to come back one day. You're going to meet Jesus one day. Whether you meet him in heaven or whether you meet him here on this earth, you're going to meet Jesus Christ one day. That is to be expected. It's to be expected. The question is, when? Right? We don't know when. It's the unexpected of when you will meet Jesus. But you will one day know that you will meet Jesus. And I put it this way in my notes. Live your life expecting to meet Jesus, just not knowing when. One day we will meet Jesus. We will give an account for the way that we have lived our lives. We really and truly will. We will give an account to Jesus while we live the way that we did, right? But the grace of Jesus Christ is that he forgives us of all of our sin. He forgives us for not following him perfectly. He knows what it's like to go through what we have gone through in his life because he went through it himself. He knows the hardship. He knows the temptation. He knows temptation far greater than we do. If you just go back to Matthew 4 and look at the temptations of Jesus, what he was actually tempted to do, right? And then we look when we're getting into the Garden of Gethsemane later on here in the book of Matthew, that he didn't want to go to the cross. He knew the pain that was involved and said, "Father, if you can let this cup pass from me, please do it. But I'll do your will. If you can make this not happen, Lord, then make it not happen." Right? He knows exactly what you are going through. And so when we meet Jesus one day, he gives us that grace because he lived the perfect life in our place, died on the cross for our sin, and rose from the grave to give us all an opportunity now that lasts all of eternity with a relationship with him. But right now, here on this earth, he's giving all of us this one thing to think about. Prepare for the unexpected. Prepare for the day that I'm coming back. Live your life that way. But we can also apply that to our personal lives. We can apply that to the ones that we care about, whether it's children, whether it's boyfriend or girlfriend, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's a mom or dad, whether it's brother or sister, whatever it may be, preparing for the unexpected. That, you know, one day our relationship won't be what it is now. One day I won't be able to visit this person like I do now. One day our relationship's going to change, and it's not going to be one of those where I'm going to know where it's changed. It's just going to happen in an instant. And if we know that, if we know that there are going to be unexpected things in our lives with the ones that we care about, we can begin to cherish them more now. Cherish that relationship right now. Cherish what you have, because one day it won't be that way. And you won't have an opportunity to go, "I'm going to know in 2 weeks this is going to happen." No, it's just going to happen just like that. That's what Jesus is telling us. It's going to happen. It's going to be unexpected. If you knew, you could prepare for it. But you're not going to be able to prepare for the day the relationship changes. Whether that's a health thing, whether that's children moving away or you moving away, whatever it might be, the unexpected is going to happen in our lives. And we need to prepare for the unexpected, especially that Jesus is going to come back one day. You just don't know when. And when we get to that aspect, is you're going to get to meet Jesus. You're going to give an account for the life that you have led. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's simple. Just ask him into your life. Say, "God, I want you to be in my life. I want to follow you with my life." That's simple. You can follow him right now through the rest of eternity. You can follow him with your life. It's not hard. It's not complicated to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then as we prepare in life, prepare for the unexpected, follow Jesus. Sometimes he will tell you things in your mind, in your prayer time, in your Bible reading time. He will tell you things to say to a spouse or to a loved one that you know that you needs to be said, but you just don't want to say it. Sometimes he'll call you to do something that you're embarrassed to do, right? He'll point out those things in your heart and in your life that you know needs to be done. You just don't want to do it. He's preparing you for the unexpected. Do what he's calling you to do. That is how you are being watchful. That is how you are being ready, is by following Jesus day by day. That is how you stay ready, because when you're following Jesus every day, you get closer and closer to Jesus until you meet Him. And that is what we are all longing for, that day we get to meet Jesus. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You teach us, Lord, to be prepared for the unexpected. Be prepared for the day that You are going to come back. It could be in the next 5 minutes You could come back. It could be another 1,000 years from now. None of us know when You're coming back, but You will. You will come back one day, Lord God. You will bring Your reign and Your rule, Lord God. One day You'll create the new heavens and the new earth where we get to spend eternity with You and eternity with those that love You and have followed You with their lives, Lord. I pray that today, Lord, if there's someone here today that hasn't made that step of faith, they haven't asked You into their lives, Lord, I just pray right now that where they are, they can just simply say to You, Lord, I want to follow You. I give You my life. That's all that they have to do. And they can begin that relationship with You day by day, Lord. And how we stay prepared in life, Lord, especially those relationships in our lives that we never expect to change and then one day they change, Lord, that if we simply listen to You and we do what You call us to do, You will prepare us now for when that relationship changes. You'll call us to do things, Lord, that we maybe have been putting off for years of doing, or maybe something, Lord, of anger or unforgiveness or hurt in our hearts that we've never let go. When You call us to let go of it, Lord, You're preparing us for the unexpected. And we simply must do what You're calling us to do. That is how we stay watchful. That is how we stay mindful of You. Not letting life distract us. Not letting the events of life distract us. Because how that happens so often to us, Lord, is that whether it be a career, whether it be a school, whether it be a family situation or a work situation, whatever it may be, that so many things in life distract us from what's important. And we don't really realize it until the very end, Lord. And we can't get back those years. We can't get back that time when we've let life distract us from what's the most important. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room. Will You guide us this week? Will You direct us? Will You help us to prepare for those unexpected things in life, Lord? It's in Your holy name that we do pray. Amen.